Welcome, everybody, to a very special edition of Podcasting Them Softly. This is the first, which I'm assuming is going to be the first in a series of many Star Wars-themed podcasts.
Yes.
I'm Frank. For the first time, I'm joined by Tim, who, you know Tim from our Twin Peaks PowerCast with Nate Hill, but Tim and I have probably spent many hours text messaging each other to sleep over our love for Star Wars.
Yep. Pretty much. That's my lullaby
right.
These days.
I couldn't think of a better person to do the Star Wars podcast with. I'd rather do it with George Lucas, but you know that's probably not going to happen.
And that does not break my heart. And I have to jump in here and say real quick that you today wrote probably the best piece I think I've ever read in defense of the prequels, speaking of dear Mr. Lucas. And I hope you stick that up on the Podcasting Softly site for some people to read, because we're kind of two minds on these, because I know that you are a big fan of the prequels just as well as you are 4, 5, and 6. And I'm not one of those Lucas hater people. I think that's kind of just gross. That's like one of the first examples of the internet being really gross about something. Fortunately, it wasn't anything life-threatening out there, but just how bad people have responded to the prequels and just kind of shamed Lucas, who, as you point out in your piece, ain't none of this happening. None of this magic would have happened in your lives without the imagination and the fortitude of George Lucas. So I thought that was a really cool piece, and I hope you share it with a lot of people, and I hope a lot of people read it, because even as a person who thinks they're flawed films, it was a great reminder to me of the many cool things that are going on, whether it be cool characters, cool sequences, cool planets. There's a lot of fun stuff there to be had. And I hope some of the people are going to come back and give him another shot, hopefully after reading your stuff.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I posted it on the site. It's going to go up on Movie Viral, who publish a lot of stuff that Nick and I write. But yeah, my whole thing with the prequels is, blanket statement, the prequels are nowhere near as good as the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And I'm 99.9% confident The Force Awakens is going to blow the prequels away. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I love the whole Star Wars universe, for good or bad, and I think that there is a lot of tremendous stuff that's in the prequels. From Christopher Lee's Count Dooku is probably in my top five characters of the entire universe. Everybody loves Christopher Lee. That guy's been in everything.
He's awesome.
From Lord of the Rings,
heavy metal
James
records,
Bond,
and
Star
he's
Wars.
Like, what,
he puts
85?
Out heavy
yeah.
metal records. Exactly.
Yeah, he's the man. Mm-hmm.
But there's so much great stuff in the prequels, and the scope of the story of the prequels, I am just completely fascinated and mystified by. It's a gigantic story that spans across the entire galaxy, mm-hmm. of the whole setup to how Palpatine becomes the Emperor of the Empire. The universe is at war. Mm-hmm. It's just so gripping to me, and as I mentioned in my piece, my love for the prequels wouldn't be what it is if I hadn't watched the Cartoon Network Clone Wars show. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of the comic books that have come out now, and then, of course, the new television show on Disney XD, Star Wars Rebels. There's so much stuff that's just completely fleshed out in the prequels that reinforces it. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon
was great. Yeah, he was a fantastic, kind of the new Obi-Wan, more or less. And it was, you kind of knew it was coming, but you were sad to see him go. And I think he does a lot of the heavy lifting in The Phantom Menace, too. I think he's obviously the main guy. And he lives up to the hype. He does a very good job of carrying a lot of things. When there is, you could tell that George was knocking some rust off the camera on that film. and I think his hand got steadier as things went on, quite frankly. But Neeson is one of the most successful things about it, and he's one of the prime characters in the movie, so you've got to love that. Now, let me ask you this. Speaking of the expanded universe and the TV series, how pumped were you when you saw the news the other day that I believe it's Star Wars Underworld, that is possibly going to happen, that they're taking a good look at what Lucas had developed and that they're considering it?
I think that's fantastic, because I remember, was it after the prequels came out or during the prequels came out, Fox was supposed to have a live-action Star Wars show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a couple of different ones they talked about. They talked about one being set in the Star Wars universe that really wasn't a saga story, and they also talked about a young Boba Fett series with the actor playing Boba Fett from Attack of the Clones. But at this point in my life, Tim, I'm wearing my First Order pajama pants. I'm wearing a Darth Vader Star Wars watch. The only reason I put a Christmas tree up in my place is to hang my Hallmark keepsake Star Wars ornaments. I mean, at this, which aren't cheap once you start buying.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, at this point in my life, like any Star Wars is good Star Wars. I mean, I've bought a lot of comic books. I'm ready for everything to just unleash on me. I always felt that this day was coming.
Yep.
You know, growing up with the films, I always knew that somehow, some way, we would get episodes 7, 8, and 9. And then we're getting so much more than 7, 8, and 9. We're getting all the standalone films that are going to be coming out in between the saga films. I mean, it's insane. But, I mean, what are your thoughts on the TV show?
I think it's I'm really interested to see what they could do. Now, what I remember Lucas saying is that they had, and Kennedy mentioned this again too, I think in the article I read, that they had somewhere close to like 100 scripts completed, which just seems insane to me. I mean, I guess if you're talking about an organization the size and strength of Lucasfilm, you can afford to take a couple writers and sit them down and say, "Would you write a few seasons of this and see what you come up with?" And I'm sure that's probably the shape they're in. I mean, I'm sure they're not super polished and ready to go. But I think in this day and age, when so much we are seeing the lines between the internet and television and the cinema blur so heavily, and you're seeing so much quality stuff on TV, and it's really starting to, the high-end effects are really starting to come into what you see in television too, much more than they ever could have to look decent, you know, 5, 10, certainly 15 years ago. It seems like the timing is perfect. I guess that's my long-winded way of saying that. If you were to do a limited-run series, which is, you know, they're not going to do a standard 24-episode run. Nobody does that. You know, few people do that anymore, and few people should. It's an exhausting schedule, and it leads to a lot of filler and bottle episodes and things like that. So, you know, Star Wars Underworld as a 10-episode series where you get to see yet another corner of the universe, I think it's a marvelous idea. And I think, and I always say this, with this company and with these people running it, you know, they are going to maximize their investment on this. They've paid a huge chunk of change for Lucasfilm, and it did not surprise me one bit when they went out, they got their man in J. Abrams, they got their man in Lawrence Kasdan, and they said, "We are going to be putting out a film basically every year." And did you read that article? I'm sure you probably did. I think it was in, what was it in? Wired, about how if the Star Wars plan goes according to plan, you'll never see the last Star Wars movie, that they're just going to keep making them in perpetuity forever. Well, that sounds a little sad. That's kind of awesome, too, right?
Right. I'm with you there. My first thought when I read that article was, well, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the more you think about it, Star Wars is something that's probably going to outlive anybody you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't think of many things that have the staying power of Star Wars. I mean, I think the only thing that probably comes close to that would be Batman, and James Bond.
Yep.
I think those are probably the only franchises that have been able to sustain, and more so James Bond than Batman. I mean, Batman we've only had since, what, 89 with Tim Burton. We did have the TV show with Adam West, which every one that I can on TV.
Right.
But as far as cinematically, I think James Bond and Star Wars hold the cake there.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I mean,
we'll see with Marvel and DC now. I mean, those are going to be around forever now, too. They're never going to stop making them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have gotten so good in Hollywood at these particular studios. You know, kind of really, you got to say all hail Disney, because they really seem to have their shit together in all of this. They know how to bring the right people together to do the story right. And, you know, on that, I was going to turn to J.J. Abrams, because I know I think everybody's got really warm fuzzies right now because of what they've seen. But I certainly know when he was hired, it was not an immediate, oh my gosh, what a slam dunk from the fan crowd. You know, number one, you've got the Star Trek versus Star Wars argument, which is, I have no patience for it. I love both of them for what they are, and they're very different. But there are people who feel, you know, they didn't like Into Darkness, or they might say, well, Lost was stupid. Well, first of all, he had barely anything to do with Lost past the pilot and the first episode of the third season, so that has nothing to do with him. But I've been a fan of his stuff since Alias. My wife and I watched that, and I thought when he was heavily involved with the show early on, it was a gangbusters show. And I thought that Mission Impossible 3, until the Rogue Nation came out, which is, I think, my favorite of that series, I thought Mission Impossible 3 was far and away the most enjoyable of those. So I was really excited when he was announced. I also thought Super 8's not a perfect movie by any means, but it does have a big heart, and it's an attempt to – it was him moving into that kind of area, you know, kind of recapturing the magic of his youth and the magic of film, the magic effect that film can have on you in your youth, which certainly comes full circle back to Star Wars. Who didn't become a film fan of our generation, you know, because of flipping Star Wars? That's what it's done. And so I was really excited about it. And boy, from every ounce of footage we've seen so far, it certainly looks like he's got a real treat for us. I can't wait. I'm just going to sit here and quiver for about 4.5 days, and then I'm going to roll over to the theater, and I'm just going to quiver outside the theater. That's my plan. That's about all I'm going to get done this week.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I was one of the people that when they announced J.J. Abrams, I was underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought to myself, I was like, really? This guy? Because, I mean,
well, and he
they
said
were going...
no already. He turned it down.
Exactly.
He turned it down. Right?
But I mean, who are they going for right away? It was like Matthew Vaughn. It's like, no, I love Matthew Vaughn. I think he's good at what he does, but like not for Star Wars. Then they went to David Fincher. It's like, I love David Fincher. He's one of the best filmmakers ever. But like, what would a Star Wars movie directed by David Fincher look like?
It would look that, very, very dark blue. Like most of his movies, and
I don't think that would meet Disney's criteria for like the look and feel of a Star Wars film. And then, of course, they went to Spielberg, and of course, Spielberg wasn't going to do a Star Wars film.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my personal choice when all this happened, what, 2 years ago when they announced this, was I hope they get Ang Lee to do this, because Ang Lee just came off of Life of Pi. The guy can do wonders with CGI. He's an amazing storyteller. But as time went on, I was warmer and warmer to J.J. Abrams. When they brought Lawrence Kasdan on to work with Abrams on the script, I was immediately sold.
Yes, yes, me
when,
too.
When Kasdan came back, I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be the greatest movie ever made. I'm like, thanks God.
It's perfect. That really was the touch, too, that kind of landed it. Because what's the fellow, Michael Arndt? He was the first guy who had his hands on this, and he's certainly done some good work, although his resume doesn't exactly scream.
Right.
He's the guy to bring Star Wars back, and it certainly sounds like he had a lot of trouble banging out the basic bones of the script. You know, I don't think it was clicking for him, and when I read recently that he had gone to them and said, well, we're only so far along, and I'm going to need another year to work this out. I just don't think in this day and age you get that kind of luxury. Huh. And I also don't. Also think if that's how you feel, then you're probably not the guy for the job. You're not feeling it. You're not getting it. It's not clicking for you. And I don't. You know, I don't begrudge anyone how difficult that is and how difficult a job this is to bring back Star Wars and do fucking Star Wars Episode 7. You know, that's like the biggest gig possibly ever. But it was good, I thought, that he walked away and that they made the decision to bring Kasdan back. And, yeah, I really think that J.J., when he's on, can be a really good writer and deliverer of character and good action beats and good surprises and things like that. With him teaming with Kasdan, who is just one of the major strands of Star Wars DNA that you're ever going to find out there, I think it's fantastic. I can't wait. Tell me something. What format are you seeing it in? Are you all locked in for IMAX? Are you in 3D? How are you seeing it?
Yeah, it was a struggle with our group. I'm going with a group of 9 guys. And thankfully, my buddy who bought the tickets for us, there was no way I wasn't going to see this movie in IMAX 3D on the first showing possible.
Yeah.
A couple of the other guys were like, I want to see it in IMAX, but I don't want to see it in 3D. Fuck 3D, it's a gimmick. It's like, dude, this is Star Wars. They're not going to fuck up the 3D.
Yeah.
And this is the way J.J. Abrams and Disney, for that matter, wants you to see the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and secondly, good luck seeing this in IMAX. That was my dryer. Good luck seeing this in IMAX only without 3D for what, probably the first month of its release?
Yeah, yeah. It's not happening out there from what I've seen. The only the thing that bums me out is the I'm here in Denver, Colorado, and there is a good, real, old-school IMAX screen in the center of town, and I didn't get tickets in time. That's booked up. So I'm down in the suburbs. I have tickets for IMAX 3D, but I have been in this theater before, and I know for a fact that it's one of those bullshit IMAX screens. So it's a nice big screen. It's a nice
right.
big screen. It's going to look great. It's going to be loud. I can't wait. But
it's
it's not real IMAX. I discovered that. I took my kid to see Gravity a few years ago there. That was the first time I'd gone to see an IMAX 3D movie there, and I had seen Gravity on the real screen and walked in, and I'm like, oh, these are these fake IMAX screens I've been reading about. You know, they call it that, but the actual proportions aren't right and everything. But I'm not too worried about that. I am going to see it at 4 p.m. on Friday, which already makes me feel like I'm going to have to shut off the internet and just hide in the hole, which I am, basically, for, 24 hours, because you guys will all have seen it. I don't know. You're the Jedi Master in this, and I'm the Padawan learner. I think we know that as far as Star Wars goes, so... anyway, it's going to be great. I can't wait. But
before we discuss any more of The Force Awakens, I just want to say real quick that Tim and I are going to get into theories about what we think is going to happen. They're not really spoilers because no one knows anything about the film. But if you don't want to hear our theories about what could happen, because I think we're pretty confident that these plot points could actually happen in the film, this might be a good time to tune out and listen to it after the film. But anyway, let me ask you this while we get into this, because you and I have discussed this at length prior.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest thing is, who do you think Max von Sydow is going to be?
Man, that he is...
Because we have seen nothing.
Nothing. No mention.
Of Max von Sydow. We don't know who he's playing. He's not on in any of the trailers.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
There's nothing.
And we know that we know about Circus. We know about
Lupita
Gleason. You know, we know that they're bad guys, right? We don't know much about them. I know you've got some interesting theories about who Andy Serkis might actually be, but there is just nothing about him whatsoever. And I kind of love the theory that I think you floated to me originally, and I don't know if this is yours personally or if you just seen it out there, that Boba Fett somehow survived the Sarlacc pit and he's back in it somehow. I would love that. I kind of don't think it's going to happen, for whatever reason, I kind of wonder if that's plugging too much into one film, you know, to do that. But man, I would love it, because I think that's kind of been the, you know, stuck in everyone's craw since Jedi, that that you wanted a more spectacular finale for Boba Fett. Although it never really bugged me that much, because he was always such a mysterious guy. He was always such a dick tease of a character, you know. He was like the coolest right. looking. He looked like he could just walk into a room and just destroy like 200 stormtroopers with a right. bunch of secret weapons you didn't even know he had. And you never quite got to see him do very much at all. But I kind of like that about him. You know, he was when you talk about leaving things to the imagination, you know, Boba Fett is one of those characters that just exemplifies that to the max. At least in the original movies, you obviously get to see more about him and of him in the prequels. But, you know, above and beyond that, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out if he's good guy or bad guy, you know, because there's nothing... There's no indication one way or the other, so there's nothing to say that he is not a hero as well, that maybe he's a Jedi out there, although certainly I think the Wizened Jedi Master role, I think we know who that's going to go to in this. That other guy that we haven't seen shit about.
Right.
What's his name again? Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, but I don't know. Do you think Boba Fett's a valid theory? What do you think?
I don't know. When Max von Sydow was in the original press release of who got cast, like when Disney officially announced that, like, you know, Hamill, Ford, Fisher are all coming back. They also announced, you know, Domhnall Gleeson, Lupita, you know, John Boyega, Daisy Ridley. They announced, they announced the principal cast, and they released that photo. Of the entire cast, Kasdan and Abrams, reading the script.
Table read, yeah.
Max von Sydow was not in that picture. My initial thought was Max von Sydow is going to be the Sith Lord, Darth Plagueis. That's mentioned in Revenge of the Sith by Palpatine when he's at that opera with Anakin, and Plagueis was the Sith Master that, you know, taught Palpatine everything he knew. Palpatine killed him, became the Sith Master. Because if you watch that scene or you think of it again, Plagueis was the most powerful Sith Lord next to Palpatine. I think it's pretty much fact that Palpatine and Plagueis created Anakin. Because Anakin doesn't have a father. All this stuff, you know.
Right.
That was my initial reaction, because of course I know what species alien race Darth Plagueis is. He's a Mun, which are the banking clan from Attack of the Clones. But anyway, they're kind of similar looking. But you know, I thought that instantly. I thought that Max von Sydow was going to be Darth Plagueis. Or he's going to be the Sith Lord, or, you know, he's going to be the be-all, end-all bad guy to the whole new trilogy.
Right.
You know, I haven't looked up any rumors. That was my first thought. My second one was, I don't know if I saw it online or on Facebook. I haven't read any spoilers or rumors because I don't want anything spoiled
right.
for me.
Right.
You know, him being Boba Fett. Because I'm with you on, I'm okay if Boba Fett died in the Sarlacc.
Yep.
I think that's cool. I know that he's the fan favorite of the Star Wars universe. There's been all that expanded universe stuff about how he survived the Sarlacc, everything. I think that's pretty much canonized now by Disney that Boba Fett survived the Sarlacc. You know, he's getting his own standalone movie, everything.
Is that official that they're doing the standalone for Boba
Fett? That's the one that Josh Trank got fired off of, I'm pretty sure.
Is that the one? Okay, right.
Because right now it's Episode 7, Rogue One, Episode 8, the Han Solo movie that the Lego guys are doing, Episode 9, and then the Boba Fett movie, I'm pretty sure is what it is. But, you know, I'm like, how are they going to fit Boba Fett into The Force Awakens? It's going to be forced because, you know, everybody just wants to see Boba Fett and they're going to put him in the movie, but... From what I'm gathering from the trailers, I haven't watched all the TV spots because I think TV spots kind of get into spoiler areas, like the last Chinese trailer that got released last week.
To that one.
I was like, holy fuck, I shouldn't have watched this, but I'm so pumped.
That was the first one where I was really like, okay, whoa, now I'm starting to get a feel from like three lines of dialogue. Now I'm starting to get a feel for what the structure of this thing's going to look like. But I have to say, it got me juiced because I was like, this is so smart. They went back to the first Star Wars, and they didn't say, let's just remake Star Wars. But I think they were looking for elements into the story that are going to be familiar to a lot of people, and I think that's a good thing. I think if they work it right, that should be a good thing. If they go back and just totally try and remake it, that would be pretty lame. But I they're smarter than that. You know, I give them more credit. I give all the people involved more credit than that. But
it seems that like a big part of the plot for the new film is Anakin's lightsaber that Obi-Wan gives Luke, that Luke loses on Bespin when Vader cuts his hand off. That's the lightsaber that's being passed around, and that's the lightsaber that I'm pretty sure Finn's character has in the trailer.
Yeah.
Now, how does that lightsaber that's like in what, the abyss of Cloud City or somewhere, like how does that
flying through space? Yeah. How is
how does guy? How does that get to the new film? And I think it was the first poster that was released. Give a shout out to our buddy Jahani who posted it in our top secret Facebook group, the Cantina. There's the pattern of the carbon freeze chamber is in that poster. And, you know, Boba Fett got a first run action figure in the new Hasbro 3¾-inch Force Awakens card backs, along with Bespin, Luke, and Vader. And from what, you know, one of the rumors is there's going to be flashbacks to the original trilogy in this film.
Interesting.
So I think maybe if Boba Fett's in the film and if Max von Sydow is playing Boba Fett, which throws total continuity out from the prequels of what Boba Fett looks like. But, I mean, let's be honest here. It's Max von Sydow.
You know, they can do a lot.
They can do whatever they want.
And he's so – I mean, let's be honest. He's so old at this point. I wouldn't make that leap, assuming they did a pretty good job in character design and whatnot. But again, I wonder if that's just a little too much to shoehorn into the movie. When you are introducing all new villains, all new heroes, we even get a adorable new droid that everybody loves already. Haven't seen
obsessed
that thing
with BBA.
Do a damn thing except for, you know, do his little circle on when the Falcon's flipping around and, you know, make some tracks in the sand, but everybody loves him. Or her. It's supposed to be a girl droid, right? Or is that?
Is it?
I thought I just heard that. Yeah, I thought I just saw that. That BB-8 is technically a quote unquote girl. But
whatever, it's still awesome.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Oh, absolutely.
And in my last, I guess my last theory of who Max von Sydow would be is they'll go the Terrence Stamp route from the Phantom Menace, and he'll just kind of be this background character.
Yeah.
Of the Resistance. You know, maybe he's like the leader of the Resistance with Leia.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah,
or
a general standing around back there.
Right.
And they,
you know, obviously. Which I kind of hope that's he's not like a throwaway character. I can't imagine he will be because it's Max von Sydow. But
I would think not. You know, and I keep thinking, on the one hand, because he is so old, I don't know how much heavy lifting he would be up for. I mean, I'm trying to think of the last Max von Sydow film, recent film, you know, that he's made. And it may just be a gap in my knowledge that maybe he's been making a fair amount of stuff. Maybe he's been doing showing up.
He was just in that Mother Teresa film that came out, I think. And he's going to be in the next season of Game of Thrones.
Oh. Okay.
And he's the voiceover in the new teaser. Mm-hmm. For Game of Thrones. So, I mean, I think that, you know, I hate to say this because the guy's so old, but I would imagine if he's Plagueis or the be-all, end-all villain, they might have filmed a lot of stuff ahead of time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough to say there. Tough to say.
To say that's probably one of the things I'm looking forward to most is seeing who Max von Sydow is.
I'm just looking forward to seeing all the things we haven't seen. As stupid and simple as that sounds, I think everybody knows in this, the day and age of relentless marketing, and the, you know, for years now, I've always felt it kind of doing me a favor that Hollywood, when they're going to put out a crap film, when they describe it completely thoroughly in their 2.5 minute trailer, I'm like, thanks Hollywood, I don't have to waste my fucking time on it now. It's covered.
Right.
But for movies you actually do want to see, the less is more approach, you don't get a lot of that anymore. There aren't a lot of secrets. And I kind of feel like with this and maybe a couple other marketing campaigns we've seen recently, I'm thinking a little bit of how in Age of Ultron they held back the Vision. You got to see his eyeball, but I think all the Marvel geeks were pretty excited knowing that they were going to get an actual cinematic version of the Vision from the comics, and they held that back, and I appreciated that. And I hope with that and with how really beautifully orchestrated I think the movie campaign for Force Awakens has been, I hope that's a trend that we see more broadly in these things, where there are key characters and key moments and things that you're not going to see a minute of unless you go see the damn movie. So go see the damn movie and don't know everything that's going to happen beforehand, you know? So
let me ask you this. This is another thing that you and I have talked about quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Is Lando going to be in this film?
Oh, man. I would love – I hope so. You know, and this all it's going to kind of circle back to, is Finn related to one of the prior characters, or is that just a dodge that they haven't released a last name on him or on Rey? I thought I'd heard early on, and I didn't hear this, you know, it wasn't in the New York Times or anything, but I thought I'd heard early on that that he was not in the best of health. That Billy Dee Williams was not necessarily doing that great. But then, you know, Kasdan had to come out and drop that little bomb at some point,
right,
when someone's talking with him and say, Lando Calrissian's story is not over, and you're like, oh my God, really? I would love it. He's one of my probably top three characters in the first, in the original trilogy. You know, he does a lot of really badass work in there. He's a great complicated character in Empire, and he rounds out into a hero very nicely. And you know, he rocks and rolls the Millennium Falcon in Jedi. And he's just a cool dude. I always liked him. And I would love to see him again. Haven't heard anything about him being in it, but again, these guys are getting pretty damn good at keeping things under their hats. My suspicion is, if he's up for it, that they've got plans for him in this new trilogy. But, boy, that would be a real bombshell if he turns up in this one. And I'll just kind of keep my fingers crossed, because like I said, Lando is always one of my favorites. And you, speaking of which, I've been a bad Lando fan and haven't read the new comics, but you've read that new series. Talk about that a little bit. What's that been like? And do you see any potential tie-ins, or are these all set way back when he was a younger man?
I hate to say this, but I haven't even read the Lando comics yet.
Oh, I thought you had.
No, I read the Journey to the Force Awakens Aftermath, the Force series that bridges Jedi to the Force Awakens, but not really. It's like Oscar Isaac's parents are the main characters of that comic. But no, I haven't read the Lando comics yet. I don't know why I'm waiting to read them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read them before The Force Awakens comes out, and then I'll report back on them if we have time.
Awesome.
On our next podcast that's post-Force Awakens. But let me just say, of course Lando is going to be – I think he's going to be in this film. If he's not in this film, he's certainly going to be in 8.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Aftermath comics – Lando's a huge part. I mean, he's an admiral of the rebellion fleet that's still fighting the Empire. He and Nine Numb,
mm-hmm.
who is going to be in the new film, by the way.
Oh, he is officially announced.
Yeah.
See, plot thickens, because, right?
Right. Because Nine Numb and Lando are still palling around in the comic books, and they come to save the day when Princess Leia and Poe's mom go to Naboo to... Because, I don't know, the Aftermath comics are amazing. But anyway, what leads me to believe Lando is going to be in this film, if not the next two, is that Billy Dee Williams returned to voice Lando in the Star Wars Rebels show, which is amazing. It's a great show, and the Lando episode's probably the best one. He's got his own comic book. I mean, it's eight issues deep right now, the Lando comics, you know. And we've talked about, is Finn Lando's kid? And, of course, Abrams and Kasdan said that when they wrote Finn, he didn't have a race, which very well could be true.
Absolutely could be, yeah.
But you cast John Boyega, why not maybe tie that in post-casting with, like, a couple simple lines? Because, I mean, Finn Calrissian, that sounds right to me.
It sounds fantastic, although it would not break my heart to hear Finn Windu either. I mean, don't forget, I see that kid whipping a lightsaber around nowadays, and, you know, you go back to the prequels there. You know, do you have the big coffee table size Star Wars books that they put out a few years ago? They're marvelous. You got to get your hands on them. I've read the first one, and I think it's essential reading for any Star Wars fan. It's just full of great pictures, production notes, a lot of really great, great detail on the whole conception of the movie through its filming and through its success. But the only reason I mention that is because Mace Windu, when Lucas was originally spitballing names and ideas, and they've got some of his like very first notes on the whole shebang in there. Mace Windu is like one of the very first names he came up with, which I thought was really cool. That's a name he came up with in 1975 or whatever, and we didn't end up getting to meet him until 99 or 2000. But anyway, so I always kind of hope that maybe that would be a tie-in too, because going back to the prequels and cool things about them, Mace fucking Windu. Samuel Jackson as a Jedi Master. I mean, come on, get out of here. It doesn't get much better than that.
I completely agree with you. I didn't get into Legos until a couple of years ago. Never really had them as a kid, but the very first Lego set I bought was Palpatine's Arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Because it comes with Palpatine, it comes with Mace Windu, it comes with Plo Koon, it comes with, Sisse Tin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're right. Mace Windu's amazing.
Yep.
I think that Finn being related to Mace Windu or being his son or grandson would be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, could be.
But at the same time, you know, because Jedi aren't supposed to have kids, all this stuff.
Right.
But I mean, if you'll remember back to the prequels, you know, Windu was kind of an unorthodox Jedi.
Sure.
You know, he didn't really, he wasn't like the noble Yoda,
right,
and stuff.
Yeah.
He kind of did things his own way.
And not to say that he even necessarily sired anyone. You know, they could be distant relatives without Windu
right.
ever having broken a vow or anything like that. But yeah, you know, and again, it's kind of funny, the more we talk about it, the more, well, obviously we sound like fanboys, but the more it sounds more like fanboys.
Because we are, Tim.
Oh, right. That's why we're sitting here doing a podcast. It all does sound kind of fanboy speculative, and wouldn't it be nice to have those connections? But maybe at the end of the day, it's just Finn, and maybe stormtroopers. You know, would that be interesting if the new stormtroopers of the First Order were stripped of their names? And maybe that's the reason why he's introduced as Finn, because, you know,
that's his call sign.
They just snatch away everything else. Whatever you used
right.
to be, that's not you anymore. You're ours now. You know, and that
right.
would be very in keeping with the way a lot of military operates.
I
know, not literally, but symbolically at least. So yeah, that will be interesting. Now, what about Rey? What are your thoughts on Miss Rey?
Rey's a Skywalker.
I think so.
Or a Solo. I don't know if she's Luke's kid or if she's Han and Leia's kid, but she's a Skywalker,
yeah.
man.
When you look at her, and obviously, you know, when they're casting, they're looking for talented people. They're looking for people who are in it for the long haul. But they cast by looks, by physical looks of people. And when I look at her, you know, there's that great scene in the main trailer that came out about a month ago, where the camera's rolling up to her and Finn as Han's telling him on the Falcon, you know, it's all real. It all happened. Just looking at her face, I'm like, boy, she could be Harrison Ford's kid. She could be Carrie Fisher's kid. That could totally be a thing. And you know, it would kind of make sense that somehow that's how Han, you know, maybe Han and Leia had Rey, and then Han, scoundrel that he is, you know, he just wasn't the settling down type, and he had to get back out on the road with Chewie. And, you know, maybe he's been out there back in the smuggling world or whatnot, and he's the deadbeat dad, and finally she kind of calls him to the carpet and is like, we need you. We need a pilot, you know, and that's how that kind of comes together. It seems like a fairly smart and easy, you know, to say maybe she has been working all along with her mother, still got a good relationship with her mother, and she's down there on, how do you say the planet name again?
Jakku.
Jakku, you know, kind of doing some undercover work, possibly. And then, you know, maybe she gets busted, or, you know, the First Order comes in any case. I think that's pretty obvious that things are not going to go well down there. And when she and Finn need to get the hell out of there, then, you know, just so happens the closest option is going to be deadbeat dad, and that's how it comes together. I don't know. I guess if a week from now, if that's more or less how it plays out, you call me a genius. But that would just kind of make sense to me. You know, I'm guessing they're not trying to reinvent the wheel and get too clever and outthink themselves too much as far as how to do this. So having those connections there and handling it with, you know, maybe some kind of stereotypical broken family dynamics that you see in all sorts of kinds of movies. Stranger things have happened.
Here's kind of, let me kill a couple womp rats with one skyhopper bolt here with what you're saying, because I've thought about nothing but Star Wars pretty much my whole life, but it's been accelerated the past 2 years.
Yes.
I think that she, I don't know if Luke has any children, man. We don't know nothing about Luke, so that's hard. That's hard to say. We don't know if Han and Leia are still together. We see him embrace in the first, or I should say the actual trailer that came out. But I've kind of been thinking that I don't know if Kylo Ren is their other kid or if he's a kid of somebody, but I know you and I have talked about this prior. I think what causes Luke to go into exile is that he was training a group of new Jedis. Kylo Ren, which isn't his real name, I'm assuming, happened to be one of them. He overtook Luke, and Luke saw what he did, and Kylo Ren rose to power through being trained by Luke. Kylo Ren's obsessed with Vader, probably blames Luke for Vader's death, wants to kill Luke. That's why Luke goes into self-imposed exile, if that's where he's at. And I think that if Rey is Han and Leia's kid, they hid her from Kylo Ren because he's going to want to kill every Skywalker, any lineage to the Skywalker family.
Yeah, yeah.
So that could be an explanation as well, but I have no, I mean, like you said, we have no idea. It's amazing how tight-lipped this has been.
Yeah. Yeah, they've really gotten good at it. You know, I go back to the early 2000s when sites like Ain't It Cool came up and really made their bones on breaking news and getting scoops and spoil, you know, they practically invented the term spoiler at that point. And, you know, I think, to borrow a familiar movie title, The Empire Struck Back, and you know, Hollywood was like, we're going to clamp this shit down. And I think you're seeing a great example of this and how well, and I'm glad they're doing it. I'm not complaining by any means. I would be very sad if this movie was spoiled all over the place at this point. They're doing a better and better job of keeping these things clamped down as they need to. You know, I think I told you before, it's funny, you go back to a possible family relation there, like if Rey and Kylo were related. There was no offense to the people behind it, it wasn't a great Star Wars series, but it was a kid's book series that was done that was certainly not canon. I don't think it would ever be considered canon by anyone, and I can't remember the names of them. I read them to my daughter a decade ago, and they weren't that great, but they involved Luke with a Jedi Academy, Han and Leia were married, Han and Leia had twins. There was a boy and a girl, and they got into wacky adventures, which were unfortunately not half as wacky as I would have liked them to be. They were pretty bad, but the whole time, the boy, who, you know, is the grandson of Darth Vader, is feeling the pull to the dark side. And
yep.
the sister is not. And I don't remember their names.
I think the kid's name was Anakin. Maybe? Because I know in the canonized novels that all came out that Disney completely threw away once they got the rights to everything, which got a lot of people mad, but I never got into any of the novels because I knew this day was going to come,
right.
and none of that shit was going to mean anything.
Yep.
But in the novels, Han and Leia have twins, and the son turns to the dark side.
Yeah, yeah. And these were kind of like almost the kiddie prequels to what you're describing. So I know that some people involved in the making of this know the fan fiction. So would they have taken a cue from that? Would they have incorporated any of that? Could there be a lot more going on family-wise? And, you know, come to think of how they spring surprises in Star Wars, are we even going to know by the end of the final reel of The Force Awakens, if in fact that's the case? You know, that could well be something that's going to be springing up in Episode 8 or Episode 9. I think they've probably got a lot of mapping out over 3 movies done for this kind of stuff, and I'm sure they're not going to give it all to us, you know, Friday or Thursday for you cool kids.
Don't worry, I won't spoil anything.
You're not that kind of Star Wars fan. You're not that kind of cinema fan. We wouldn't be talking if you were. So,
right.
I think that's all good. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I have to cut my end of this short. It has been a blast talking with you about this, and I look forward to doing it many more times. I mean, I think it's probably pretty safe to say the next Podcasting Them Softly Star Wars PowerCast is going to be centered around the actual movie that everyone's seen, and I for one cannot wait to record that one and talk with you about it. It's going to be a long week, but man, it's going to be a fun one, and it's going to end with a bang, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I took Thursday, Friday off, so I'm all good to go with that. But yeah, the next Star Wars PowerCast you're going to hear from Tim and I are going to be probably a 5-hour long gush of The Force Awakens, and that's if it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine if this film's going to meet our expectations, what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're probably both going to spontaneously combust.
Yeah, this may in fact be the last PowerCast because I might just die of happiness. My heart just might say, all right, that's it. We're good. We've done it all. We got it covered. But then I'll remind it, well, we got episodes 8, we got 9, we got
all the standalone films and TV series
yeah,
and books and comic books and toys that we're buying. At least you have the excuse to buy it for your kids. Mm-hmm. I'm buying it to put in my closet so I can look at them once a day and just go, oh, it would be fun to play with you, but I have to have self-control somewhat.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it was a pleasure doing this with you. I can't even wait until we do the next one.
Awesome. Great. Well, till then, may the Force be with you.
Always.